Bible study on worship. Want to pick it up about midway through page 61 there, number 8. Last week we were talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and then we moved on into the manifestation of the Spirit, in that He comes to guide His people into all truth through His Holy Spirit. Amen. And it says in John 15:26, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me." In other words, He will bring forth declaration and revelation of who the Father is and who Jesus is. And so once again, we see Jesus offers hope, and the Holy Spirit gives you and I strength to endure unreasonable hatred that we see even now in the world. And I got news for you. It ain't going to get any better. Amen. It's not going to get any better until the Lord comes and takes us out of here. Jesus uses two names, and I just want to touch on them lightly. Jesus uses two names for the Holy Spirit. The first one is Advocate, and the second is Spirit of Truth. And so the word Advocate conveys the helping and the encouraging and strengthening work of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of Truth points toward the teaching, the illuminating, and the reminding work of the Spirit of God. But the Holy Spirit ministers to both the head and to the heart. The head and the heart. Why is that significant? Well, for me, I've said this, I don't even know how many times I've said it, but I've said it a lot. And that is that there's going to be a large number of people that miss heaven by 18 inches or thereabout. And that 18-inch span is between your head and your heart. And the implication there is that you can have all kinds of head knowledge about Jesus and about God's Word and about all those kinds of things. But unless you apply what you know up here in your heart and have experienced a change in your life, then nothing is connected. Amen? There's no benefit. That's good. There's no benefit from that. So the Spirit will come to you and I and tell us about Him. Amen? It's an important thing for us to remember that the disciples were, in fact, the vital link between Christ and all of us. It's because of the disciples and the apostles, those that penned the New Testament, that gives you and I the written word, the canon of Scripture. I like it when it's called, when it refers is the canon of, and I picture a canon about that, because sometimes the word just hits you. Amen. Sometimes you just get a blast. And we need that. We need that. They would need, the disciples would need the Holy Spirit to remind them, so that as they preach, teach, and write, and worship, that by doing so, they would be spreading the truth of the gospel. How many of you realize tonight that we are not released from that burden and that task? We it is our mission in life. Matthew 28 talks about it very plainly, and I'm going to hit on it a few more times before the night's over. In fact, let's just say this, that all Christians are called to testify of Jesus. You might not be what you would consider a Bible scholar. You might not be what you would even consider a preacher, but what you do have is your testimony. And nobody knows your testimony like you know your testimony. Nobody can share your testimony like you can share your testimony. And so all of us have been called to testify of Jesus and allow the Spirit to help us through times of persecution and remind us of the truth of God's Word and the work in our heart and our mind of the listeners. I want us to look tonight at John chapter 16 and verse 13. John 16, the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 13. I thought it was pretty cute on Sunday when little Johnny was looking up the scriptures with his brand spanking new Bible. And he was so proud that he had found it, but he was in the Gospel of John and not the Epistle of John. And he was convinced that he was in the right spot. But you know what? Kudos to that little gripper for even looking. Amen. Got him a brand spanking new Bible, and I hope he wears that thing completely ragged. Amen. John 16 and verse 13 says this: "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." So the truth into which the Holy Spirit is looking to guide you and I is the truth about Christ. Would you like for me to just share with you something tonight for which you can be thankful about tomorrow around the Thanksgiving table? It is this: that Jesus Christ is the Son of the Most High God, and He came and died on the cross, and He redeemed your life and mine, and He has loved you since before the foundations of the earth. Listen, if that doesn't give you something to be thankful for, I don't know what will. Amen? It helps us through patient practice to discern right from wrong. Aren't you glad you didn't get one try at it? Aren't you glad you didn't just get one try at it? Amen? I mean, Jesus is the author, the perfecter of do-overs. Amen? What's that show where the guy goes through this groundhog? Is it Groundhog's Day? Where the guy goes through the same thing over and over every day. They wake up and it's the same day over and over and over and over. His mercies are kind of like that. His mercies are new. You get a brand new day today to get right what you messed up yesterday. Amen. You get to try it all over again. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would tell them about the future, the nature of their mission, the opposition that they would face, and the final outcome of their effort. So if you'll just listen, you read God's Word, you'll learn about the future. That's why the things that are happening right now should not be catching us off guard, should not be taking us by surprise. Everybody says, oh, pray, 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 pray. Well, you can pray all you want. Truthfully, you can pray all you want. But the reality is, this stuff has to happen in order for the Lord to return. So, I'm not saying don't pray. For Pete's sake, pray. But how are you praying? Because these are the things that have to happen for the Lord to come. And so, sometimes we don't understand all the promises until the Holy Spirit came after Jesus' death and His resurrection. He would tell us about the future. He will tell you about the nature of your mission. You should not have any question about what the nature of your mission is. The bottom line is the nature of your mission is to go into all the world and proclaim Jesus Christ, Him crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected, seated at the right hand of God, and telling people that He is the only hope that we have. That's the nature of our mission. And when you begin to declare the nature of your mission, when you begin to do what it is that God has called us to do, the Holy Spirit is going to tell us about the opposition that you will face. And you will, in fact, face opposition to the message of Christ. You know why? Because the world doesn't want to hear it. The world does not want to hear it. The world wants to go on living like they want to live. And God's Word says, no, you can't live that way. But because of His free will, they get to live that way, however how they want to. But if you want to make heaven your home, that's the bottom line. If you want to make heaven your home, if you want to see change in your life, if you want to see the assurance of your salvation, then our life has to line up with what God said in His Word. Amen. We're all work in process and in progress, but the reality is we've got to be working at it. You can't just come to the altar and say, okay, Jesus, I give my life to you. Now, the rest of it's up to you. Doesn't work that way at all. There's going to be opposition. But here's the greatest thing that the Holy Spirit will tell us. The final outcome of our efforts. He who is faithful to the end will be saved. Isn't that what the Bible says? And so we've got to hang fast. We've got to hang tough. Sometimes we don't understand. But the Holy Spirit reveals truth to you and I and to the disciples that they wrote them down in the books that now form what we call the New Testament. It's written down. The Holy Spirit guides you and I how? By speaking truth. What you hear from God, what you hear from the Holy Spirit, you don't ever have to worry about whether or not it's truth. It is absolute truth. In fact, if you've surrendered your life to the Lord, you're banking your life on the reality of that truth. Christ said that He had many things to say to the apostles, but they weren't able to bear those things not yet. He would share them later through His Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit then guides by leading us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. He's the very Spirit of truth. He speaks only the truth and guides into all the truth. The truth, of course, is Jesus Christ Himself. He is what? What does it say in John? Come on, somebody help me. He is the way, the truth, and the light. That's exactly what it says. And so the truth is Jesus. The Spirit leads us as believers to Christ, the truth, and teaches us all truth about who Christ is. After Jesus arose, the Holy Spirit was in fact the one that led the apostles to write the New Testament and to foresee the things revealed in its pages. They didn't know everything that was happening. The Holy Spirit, a lot of it is prophetic. As they wrote these things down. So since that day, the Holy Spirit is the one who takes the things that have been revealed in God's Word and shows them. He declares them or announces them to the heart of every believer. Amen? The Holy Spirit does that. I want to look at the next thing I want to look at is God's blessing on true worshipers that leads to the sanctification of His people by His Word and by the Spirit of Truth, by His Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be sanctified? To be set apart. Turn to the Gospel of John, if you're not already there, to John chapter 17. Go to verse 17. John 17, 17. If you back up several verses, you'll find that these three verses are part of a snippet of a prayer, the prayer that Jesus was praying for his disciples on the very night before his crucifixion. Sanctify them, he said in verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Can you see a loop in that? Can you see the loop in that passage of Scripture? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You sent me into the world. I've sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So to sanctify means to make holy or to separate. And Jesus prays that his disciples in this prayer, Jesus is praying that his disciples will be a holy people. Let me stop right there. Because I said that Jesus is praying that his disciples will be a holy people. But let me just tell you, he's not just talking about his disciples. This is way more than the 12. He's talking about you and I, folks. Because a disciple is a learner. Amen? So we gotta quit reading God's Word like it's some kind of a story. It is a story. It's like a love story, if you will, but it's much more than that. It's a personal story directed to you and I. And we have to begin. Here's the problem with the way we read Scripture today. We read Scripture like it's talking about 2,000 plus years ago. But we have to put ourselves in the Scripture. We've got to put ourselves. When it says that Jesus is praying for his disciples. Jesus is praying for us. Hello? Can you hear me back there, Bob? All right. Just checking. Because he's praying for us that we will be a holy people. It gets worse. Listen to the next part. Separated from the world and sin. I said it gets worse. I'm not saying this is bad. I'm just saying it's a little bit. My mom had a finger about this long sometimes, and when she pointed that thing at you and her British accent began to really flow out, you knew as a young boy you're in trouble when she is pointing that thing at you. I mean, it was loaded. And that's really what's happening here, is the Holy Spirit through the Scripture, is Jesus prays that his disciples, that we will be a holy people separated from the world and sin for the purpose. For the purpose of worshiping and serving God. Yeah, well, you can't make a disciple Pardon me? Unless you are one. That is so true. So true disciples must be set apart in order to be near to God and to live for Him and to be like Him. Do you realize that we're supposed to be like Him? We're to be imitators of God. Hello. Christ-like. We're supposed to do God kind of things. I'm not saying we're to be gods. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But we've been endued. We have the Spirit of the Most High God living in us. Our lives ought to be a reflection of what God wants to do in and through us to a world that doesn't know Him. It's no wonder the world doesn't want to have anything to do with Him, because the world's been looking at a church that's been sick for a long, long time. And church, I pray that our church is healthy and whole and begins to put forth the true image of what Jesus Christ is and has called us to be. Disciples set apart in order to be near to God, to live for Him, and to be like Him. Listen, I can't look at your life. I can only look at my life. And when I look at my own life and I begin to ask myself some tough questions, like for example, how near to God are you? How well are you doing at living for God? Or how like Him are you? I mean, when we begin to ask those kinds of questions, we have to be ready to receive the answer from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit of God, because what He might reveal to you is that you're far from Him. Here's a question. Has nothing to do with my notes. It's just a question. How long of a trip is it when you find out that you're a long ways away? You're far from Him. How long of a trip then is it back to Him? The Word says that we're to repent, and to repent means to turn 180 degrees. To turn around. I'm going this way, away from Jesus. Now I find myself in a place far from where Jesus, but when I turn around in repentance, He's right there. He's right here. I'm back. It doesn't mean that in my far away time there weren't some seeds planted that are going to have to harvest. Hello. That's the part we don't want to hear about. There's a law in one of God's laws is the law of sowing and reaping. If you sow corn, you reap corn. If you sow beans, you're going to reap beans. If you sow sin, hello? We can't go out and sow our so-called wild oats and then pray for crop failure. I mean, you can, but it ain't going to help. So true disciples must be set apart in order to be near to God, to live for Him, and to be like Him. This sanctification is accomplished by our devotion to the truth. By our devotion to the truth, and is revealed to us and to them by none other than the Spirit of truth. Who have we determined that the Spirit of truth is? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was sent by Christ to us. I'm trying to help us here tonight. God's truth has been given to us in three editions. Three additions. I hope you put these up one at a time. So God's truth has been given to us in three additions. Number one, John 17 and 17 declares that His Word is truth. His Word is truth. You get in God's Word, you read God's Word, you pray over God's Word, you study God's Word, you can leave at the end of the day knowing that what you've read, what you've studied, what you've heard is truth. Tammy and I go to bed every night to the best of our ability, and we on my nightstand, I've got the Audible Bible downloaded on my phone, and I put it on for an hour. I figured out that you can put it on a little timer deal, and for 1 hour, it will just read in dramatic effect God's Word. So there's different voices, you know, and all this stuff. But it's going in. Your subconscious is hearing God's Word. We're being flooded by God's Word. His Word is truth. Amen? His Word is truth. The second addition is that His Son, according to John 14 and verse 6, His Son is the truth. His Son is the truth. And so thirdly, according to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6, His Spirit is the truth. So we have His Word is truth, the Son is truth, and the Spirit is the truth. And John, 1 John 5 and verse 6 says, "This is He who came by water and blood." What's that talking about? Talking about His birth. "Came by water and blood." Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. So we need all three if we're going to experience what it means to have true sanctification. In other words, a sanctification that touches every part of our inner person. Every part of our inner person. We need that, church. We need the light of God's Word to shine brightly inside of us. Amen? Look at it this way. With the mind. These are all going to come up on the board for you. So if you're a note taker, you're going to be able to jot these down. But these are powerful, and I want you to hear it, and I want you to see it. So with the mind, we learn. How many of you understand this? That the Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 5, that if any man lack wisdom, right? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give that to you without liberality. So with the mind, we learn God's truth through His Word. Well, Pastor, I've read God's Word. I've read it, and I've read it, and I've read it, and I just don't understand it. Well, a couple things that come to my mind. Are you praying before you read God's Word? Are you praying as you read God's Word? And are you asking God to reveal His Word to you? God, give me understanding. Because it says in some place in the Bible, and I can't think exactly where it's at, but He said it's so simple that even a child can understand it. Now, I'm not talking negative to anybody. But let me just put it to you that if I can understand it, probably most about anybody can. And there's parts of it that I don't understand. But as I've read it over and over, as I've seen it in different contexts in God's Word, God's Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that is teaching me, is revealing the truth of God's Word. It's a process. I've never been one to be able to sit down with a textbook and read the textbook and understand what's being taught. That's why I did so poorly in school. I did poorly. Hands-on, if it involved my hands, working, turning wrenches, building stuff, if it was that kind of hands-on thing, I could comprehend that and I could understand it. But to read something out of a book and get it to stick up here, I just struggled with that. And I struggle with it today. But when I apply it, when it comes out through the preaching and through studying to share with somebody else, it's with the mind that I learn God's truth about His Word. Number one. Number two, it's with the heart we love God's truth and His Son. So with the mind, we learn God's truth. With the heart, we love God's truth through His Son. And number three, it is with the will. Now listen. If you don't know this, you're going to know it tonight. You have a will. You have a will. And with your will, you can do basically whatever you want. God, there are two wills. God has two wills. His perfect will and His permissive will. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God has a perfect will for your life. And God also has a permissive will for your life. In other words, you can do what you want. But if you're going to make heaven your home, you're going to have to line up with His perfect will. And so it is with the will. I will to. I choose to. It's my choice to yield to the Spirit of God and live God's truth day by day. See, that's where the will comes in. We have to decide, church. It has to be my desire to yield to the Spirit of God. Sometimes that can be a process that we go through. Amen? So with the mind, we learn God's truth through the Word. With the heart, we love God's truth, which is His Son. And with the will, we yield to the Spirit and live God's truth day by day. See, it takes all three for a balanced experience of sanctification. It takes all three of those for us to have a balanced experience of sanctification, of what it means to be truly set apart. See, it's not enough merely to study the Bible and learn a great deal of doctrinal truth. That's what I said earlier about the 18-inch thing. It's much more. It's not enough to just learn about the Bible and have doctrinal truth. Because there are people that have all kinds of doctrinal truth and are going to probably end up going to hell unless they have a heart change. Yeah. But if anybody knows the truth of the Scripture, it's the devil. Straight to hell. See? We have to also love Christ more as we learn all that He is and all that He's done for us. Oh my goodness, all that He's done for us. And we don't deserve any of it. Learning and loving should lead to living. Learning and loving should lead to living and allowing the Spirit of God to enable us to obey the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? This is how we glorify Him in this present evil world that we find ourselves wrapped up in tonight. Sanctification, church, is not for the purpose of selfish enjoyment or boasting. Well, I've been set apart by the Most High God. How about you? You know? And then what it's about. It's not about, it ain't got nothing to do with me except for that I submit to it all. It's not for the purpose of selfish enjoyment or boasting. It is so that we might represent. What? It's so that we might represent Christ in this world and win others to Him. That's what I'm talking about. That's the bottom line. That's your purpose in life. Remember, we talked about that earlier. It's to be near to Him, to live for Him, and to be like Him. It's our job to win the world for Him and win others to Him. Christ Jesus set Himself apart for us. He was sanctified for us. And now He has set us apart for Him. What are you talking about? I'm talking about, and I think I can make this stretch. I mean, I don't even think it's a stretch. I think it's an application that Jesus was set apart from heaven. Wasn't He? He was set apart from heaven. The glories of heaven. Imagine being a prince or a king or a princess and then turning their back on all of that to come and live amongst the common folk, if you will. And Jesus Christ left the glory of heaven, born of a virgin, for 33 and a half years, lived among men, died a sinner's death, to sanctify us and set us apart from all of this mess. Do you see the transfer? He transferred from heaven to here. A sanctification. And by doing so, redeemed us and sanctified us from here to there. Hello. Am I painting the picture good? I mean, are we able to see what I'm saying? He was sanctified from heaven to earth. He came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. Our debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, we lift Your name on. That's the process that took place. He was sanctified from heaven to the earth. He was set apart from there. And He came here and He redeemed us so that we might be sanctified, set apart from the world of sin to a world of heavenly glory and splendor. Woo! Yes, ma'am. He didn't do anything that was bad. No, I never said He did anything wrong. He was sanctified from heaven. Why did He do? In other words, He came from the glories of heaven. I mean, He was a part of the triune Godhead. And He left all of that behind by choice. Because the Scripture said there was none found worthy. Had to be without spot or without blemish or without any sin. And that was only Jesus. And He came from heaven and sat was the perfect sacrifice. Because the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So Christ came and gave His life and died a sinner's death. No, He didn't. He took your sin and mine. It was the worst form of punishment. It was the most brutal and cruel way to kill anybody was crucifixion. Because it was agonizing, it was slow, it was very public, it was just out there. No, Jesus had no sin. He took your sin and mine. He took the sins of all the world, past, present, and future, upon Him that day when He died on the cross. That's why the Bible says that His Father could not look on Him. Because God cannot look on sin, and he turned away. You're very welcome. So, again, Jesus set himself apart for us, and now he has set us apart for him. Here's a question. How are we doing at being set apart for him? Because when we truly are set apart for him, our will, wants, and desires are way down the list. And the world runs away because they want their desires taken care of. Jesus set himself apart for us, and now he sets us apart for him. The Father sent him into the world, and now he sends us into the world. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and tomorrow you very well could be seated around a table with people that don't know Jesus. And as uncomfortable as it may be, it is an opportunity. And I'm not saying that we have to get into this big dialogue, but if maybe there can be a time where, what are you thankful about this Thanksgiving? What are you thankful about? Oh, man. Let me tell you what I'm thankful about. I'm thankful that my God sanctified His Son, set Him apart to come to earth and die for me, and by doing so, sanctified me, set me apart from this world to live my life for Him. And you know what? I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful today that Jesus Christ knows all there is to know about me, but He loves me anyway. And He gave His life to redeem me. And you know what? One of these days, I'm going to go to heaven and be with Jesus. Are you? Have you made that decision in your heart? Have you come to terms with, I'm talking about that person across the table from you tomorrow. Well, and that's a sad deal. But you can tell him about Jesus and about what the good things that God has done. We don't have to get ugly about it. Yeah. God, fill my mouth with your words. Fill my mind with your thoughts. Fill my ears with your still small voice, God. Fill my heart, most importantly, with love and compassion for the lost. Begin to see people with the eyes of Christ. Begin to see people through the filter of the love of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, we're out of time. We're stopping right there. You only asked one. Yeah, but it was worth it. Listen. This is Bible study. This is a time for asking questions. If you don't know, ask the question. The only dumb question is the one that's not asked. And we're here. The whole purpose of Wednesday night Bible study is that there would be interaction between me and you so that you leave here tonight going, learn something tonight. I've got something tonight that I can apply to my heart and take from here. That's what this is about, folks. So please don't feel like you can't ask questions or comment, because you can. Amen? Hey, let's just take a few moments here tonight and thank God for sanctifying us. But remember that with that sanctification comes responsibility. Remember why you were sanctified. You were sanctified to go into the world and tell the world how we got sanctified. Amen? Father, I thank you so much for tonight and for your people. I thank you for this church, God, and I thank you for the call that you've placed on my life and on my wife, and Lord, the call that you've placed on so many others that call Harvest Christian Assembly their own home. And Father, I just pray, God, that as we continue to unwrap this idea of sanctification, being set apart, Lord, and why, what worship really is all about, God, I pray that you'd reveal it to us, and not only reveal it, but God, begin to manifest it through our lives. Let the manifestation of your Holy Spirit begin to come forth in our lives, Lord, that the world would see that Jesus is real and that he's ready to save even the darkest sinner on this planet. And Father, I thank you. I pray, God, you'd be remembered around our tables tomorrow. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you and God go with you. If you're traveling tomorrow, be careful. Drive safely. Enjoy the food. Oh, by the way, remember that as tomorrow is, in fact, Thanksgiving, set your scales back 10 pounds. Set your scales back 10 pounds. Amen. God bless you online. We hope to see you back here Sunday morning.